For our second special guest episode in the podcast, we welcome in Amir Kaligi. Amir is a teacher, speaker, founder of and lead facilitator at Embodied Masculine. You can find him at embodiedmasculine.com. His experience in working with men and men's work spans over 28 years. With his founding of Embodied Masculine in 2018, his teachings and global reach have propelled men globally towards deeper clarity of purpose, community, and empowerment in living their lives. So guys, this is special guest number two onto the podcast, and I'm just so pumped and excited. Actually, it's a part of me to self-regulate, getting to speak with Amir Kaligi today. Amir, you're so welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Amir, I was sharing with you just before coming on to record the episode, it was my beloved queen that was telling me, she was knocking on the door, it was in conversations. She was like, you've got to connect in with this guy. His name is Amir. He's on Instagram. She was telling me about just all your teachings about sacred masculine and feminine dynamics. And she was so captivated by it. But what was really coming through me, and I know she knows at this point, is just this sacred masculine element. She could really feel your masculine core. And that's why she introduced me to you and got me to connect in. Could you start with, I suppose, the masculine feminine 101? Because I know I've been in this, you know, in deep men's work, and I've been following David Aida, et cetera, for a number of years. But a few guys listening in, could you just bring guys up to speed in basic terms of, you know, what masculine and feminine means to guys within the container of marriage on a practical level? What's the simplest way you could convey those terms to make them useful?
Well, what I'd like to, that's a good question. Thank you. What I'd like to do is first and foremost, extract masculine and feminine from male and female. So we'll put that on the side. Okay. So we're not talking about binary or genders right now. In the realm of masculine and feminine, maybe we can look at this as energetics. Energetics run through bodies of men and women differently, right? And it happens that most masculine energies run through men. Most feminine energies tend to run through women. But the reality is we have access to both of those poles as men and women equally. We just have a resting place with each of these energetic poles. So you have access to masculine energetics. You have access to feminine energetics. Now let's talk about what that means. Let's talk about what that means theoretically, and then let's talk about what it means personally or individually. Theoretically, masculine energetics can be defined as any container that holds energy, consciousness, emptiness, the void, the undying, the deathless, death itself, anything that can hold the container of energy that wants to flow into it, the energy that flows into it, like light, love, all of that in Shakti is feminine energy. So consciousness without the body, consciousness as the container holder, feminine energy as light or love that moves through that space. Now, on a personal, so this is philosophically, on a personal level, we have those poles in that realm and that access to both poles from the farthest left to the farthest right within each man or woman. It's a little bit more complicated because we are not one-layered beings. We have a physical body. We have an emotional body. We have a sexual body. And we even have a cosmic body. Now, these can lie on different strands on that spectrum, indifferent to one another. So, for example, my physical body is masculine. What does that mean? I can pretty much wear the same thing for like a week without it being an issue. Like, I can wear the same shirt and the same pants, and then at some point I'm like, oh, I think I need to change. Like, it's not, it doesn't, I don't need to be adorning myself. That's just my makeup, right? Not right, not wrong, not more manly or less manly. It's just is. Some people like to really feel that adornment of the physical body, more on the feminine spectrum, right? Emotionally, I'm way more on the feminine side of the spectrum. Okay. When something comes into my body, I feel it tremendously. Tremendously. I'm impacted tremendously. If I had more of a masculine emotional body, then that wouldn't impact me as much. Sexually, you're either naturally wanting to claim and take energy, moving energy, linear, masculine, to surrender, to receive, to be penetrated, feminine, right? Spiritually, if you feel the most sense of well-being in deep meditation, where you lose sense of self and fall into deep communion in consciousness, masculine, empty space. If you feel most alive moving your body, letting energy move through your body, feminine. You bring all these together and you reside, you have a resting space within that spectrum. Within that collage of layers between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the sexual. So we learn to realize or come to terms with how energy works within our body, right? And how do we move from one pole to the next? Because if your woman, comes to you in an incredible amount of emotional charge that she needs to communicate with you, if that immediately puts you in also an emotional state, now you're both in this feminine, right? But if you want to really support her body in its unfurling and in its expression, then you can naturally become a more of a grounded space for her, where she can feel safe to express herself without you keep like tipping over or you getting triggered or you collapsing, right? So in that instance, you're holding the masculine pose and she's in her feminine. So I like to think of masculine and feminine as those aspects of energetics that run within each man or woman, if that helps.
Yeah, it's a beautiful introduction. What I'm fascinated there with when you mentioned the emotional layer for myself, and you know, it triggered me a bit because I know, like you mentioned about in your emotional layer, you're more on the feminine side. And it brought up a memory when I came to men's work first. I remember being reflected back by the guy that was facilitating, and he was a guy that, you know, he had, I don't know, 20, 25 years of deep men's work. And I spoke into the group. I checked in. It's like, I'm not feeling, you know, it's like an emotional check-in. It's like, I'm not feeling like I'm it's like one homogeneous, like there's a sort of an aliveness, but my most honest report into the space was, it's just one. It's like, I, you know, you guys are reporting in, you know, it's like, oh, you've guilt and you've shame there and you've anger there, and there's that behind your eye and that behind your left ball. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I can feel sort of an aliveness, but it's just like one field. That's it. And I remember the guy saying, it's like, oh, but I'm, you know, he challenged me on it. And it was like, hey man, you know, I'm going to call you out in that, you know, like you have more feelings there. There's more emotions going on. But there was this radical honest part of me. It's like, hey, I'm not going to report into this space something that's untrue for me. And actually,
yeah,
a number of guys within that space, when I connected in with them afterwards, they were really grateful to me because they said, Mark, you actually were speaking. It's like I was in the exact same mode as you. So what would you say to guys that they're listening in, they're deeply curious, they're like, yeah, there's this part of them yearning to enter into that space, but they're sort of like me and quite a number of guys where, you know, call it shame and trauma, that just don't yet have access to, you know, the richness of the feminine, the emotional feelings. What would you say to those guys?
I would say there is nothing wrong here. There's nothing wrong here. Now, I would ask you a question. Would you be open to exploring certain aspects of yourself that are going to be hard to, that are not going to naturally come for you? You're going to have to actually put more effort into a certain area of your life. Okay. So if the answer is yes, great. Look, for you, it's going to be easier to have a container around your emotional body because you have access to the masculine part of that that runs through you. For me, growing up, having a very sensitive emotional body where I would feel it and it would run through my body so tremendously, it was harder for me to develop the container for my own feminine emotional body. For you, that container will come easier, but the access of the energy will take more effort. There's nothing wrong here. We're exploring the inner landscape and becoming the alchemists of our own life. We are learning how to tune into various different energies and archetypes that run through this beautiful vessel and learning how to work with it, how to explore with it, how to expand our capacities. So you're like, you know what? I do want to be fucking immersed in an emotion. I want to be able to feel lost in emotion. And I don't ever want it to end. I just want it to run through me. That's feminine, right? I want to explore that. Great. Great. So if your willingness is there and you know there's nothing wrong, okay, now we can explore. So what I would say for, like, if I was working with you, Mark, I would say, well, we're going to work on bringing more feminine embodiment practices into your life. And we're going to slow things down. We're going to slow things down to a point of you becoming conscious to how your body receives, your state of being. Because what is feminine embodiment if it is not full immersion into a certain energy or emotion? It is fully expressed, right? It's fully immersed. So then we would work on that.
Yeah. And it sort of leads me in naturally. I was in preparing for this interview with you. I was listening to your recent interview with Ben Goreski, and you were speaking about within the container of deep men's work, when you bring guys in the circles, you actually, there's as much training guys to the embodiment of their feminine as the masculine. And it really jumped out at me. It's like, wow, you know, as I think it was speaking to this part where I had sort of picked that up within men's work myself. It's like, oh, there's a lot on the masculine, but I was yearning, hence in the connecting with yourself. And my queen, she knew, she was listening to me. She was like, oh, I think I've got the guy for you. Amir Kaligi is the guy. And what does the training, if there is a general answer for this, but within the dojo of Deep Men's Work, as you run it, Amir, what would training to lean into the feminine aspect of a man's emotion, emotional expression, what would that look like? What are some of the tools or some of the techniques or processes? Could you give me, and the guys listening in, an introduction, what that might look like or feel like, I suppose, is probably the more accurate question.
That's a great question. So the first thing you're going to encounter is your own judgments. The first thing you're going to encounter in the exploration of the depths of your feminine access to your feminine energy is your own prejudice and judgments against it. So you're immediately going to come up against some, that becomes your work. So immediately you're going to be confronted with everything that was poured into you as you were growing up. Because when you're growing up, you're naturally expressing it, right? But what happens to boys when they allow any sort of expression in that way? What happens?
Oh, man. In school, what was coming to me immediately is memories of home. Watching films, and it was like this embarrassed. We'd watch a film, the lights would be out, and there was this embarrassed rush that if the lights came on, you know, like midway, my mother would bring in tea. If you were a guy and you were crying, I still remember watching the Green Mile and the lights came on. I still have that memory. It's like it's as vivid as it was yesterday because my dad and myself, I mean, it's such an emotionally packed film, but I remember looking at him. He glanced at me and we were both in the floods of tears. But I suppose the masculine embodied leader in my life was my dad. And he just embarrassedly rubbed his eyes. He made a joke about me crying. I remember just like I locked up.
Collapsed.
I collapsed and like, fuck, I'm crying. This is weak. And my throat, and of a longstanding, call it a relationship with psychosomatically with asthma, my throat chakra just locks up in my chest down into my tummy. I can even feel it now. So, and that's just, I could have like 100 or 1,000 memories from school the same, and imagine guys listening in.
And that's where we want to meet you. So that's where as soon as we fall into a feminine practice, you're going to find yourself in those moments again. But here's the difference. I'm not your dad in that moment. I'm holding a safe container and I'm encouraging you to work with this energy. First, allow it. Fall into a state of allow. Don't push. Don't pull. The practice is designed to take you, and then these confrontations that you need to make within yourself to give yourself permission to allow this stifled charge to have a full cycle. And when you allow that charge, that old charge, to have a full cycle, what will happen is you will breathe. And that breath that follows the full cycle is actually your vigilance lowering. Your vigilance is lowering. Your receptivity to that energy has now shifted. You have a point of reference that it's safe to let this run through my body. Now you just went into a deeper layer of experiencing feminine embodiment practice on a level that you haven't hit before. And that becomes your work.
You know, for years, I'm smiling because for years, maybe a decade or so, I was reading peak performance stuff, mindset, skill set. I mean, like I don't know, I'd say well over $100 and podcasts. And it wasn't until I met Men's Work that this element just cracked me open. You know, this revelatory experience of what you're speaking about, it's like, oh my God, it's actually safe to cry in front of men and they don't hammer the shit out of you. They don't criticize you. They don't have contempt for you. You know, when just to be able to share shame and guilt and every single emotion that was coming. And the more I shared, the more it came. And the grief that comes up for me is like remembering back to myself, you know, it's like in college. And I think the first few years actually in marriage with my queen, I went through, you know, 6 months of, it was just a daily journey. My only respite was suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. And all it came from was the total terrified nature of just confronting what in so many senses, you know, you speak to it there. And I know my emotional system now just relaxes into it. You know, those words just bring me home. And yet at that point in my life, I was so petrified, terrified to a level of putting my hand up and saying to the world, I'm out of control here. I'm out of facade. Every single thought in my head, I sort of know inherently it's bullshit. I know it's not me. I know it's not real. There's no foundation under my feet. And yet to actually utter that, I knew it acutely, but to reach out to a friend, a brother, I didn't have a men's group at the time. It was such an imprisonment. And I know guys listening in, you know, this is the importance of listening in vicariously to conversations like this. If a guy is listening in and he's at that terrified state, he's at that frozen state, and he's listening and he's curious, but he's still scared to take the next step, is what advice, or is there any elder wisdom to say to a guy or to communicate? What's the message to guys to just support them coming from that terrified state to take the first steps over that bridge into, you know, reaching out to a men's circle? Because I know there's this part of me knowing, it's like I was yearning so much. It's my full belief that there's actually a deep inner yearning in every guy. Is there any magical word in your experience or sentence? Maybe it's the million-dollar question, but what comes through you when I pose that question, Amir?
Yeah, it is. It is a million-dollar question, and my answer may surprise you. I would say, listen, man, you have the dignity of staying where you are for as long as you want. You have the dignity to stay here. And if you are willing to change your relationship to the masculine, because really here's the rub. Most men that cannot or have a hard time taking a step forward in surrendering into their feminine, having another man or a masculine container hold them so that they can deal with the stuff that is killing them, and I'll talk about what's really killing them in a minute, is the fact that they are working on reconciling their relationship to the masculine. In some way, they have been hurt, so they don't know how to trust and let go into another man's container, or another men's group container, something that's bigger than them, a bigger container that they can allow their feminine selves to just fucking unfurl for a minute so they can breathe, so they can begin to connect the synapses of what it means to be alive. And what it means to be alive is for you to be connected to the deepest part of you. And in order to do that, you have to have permission to allow life to move through you without compartmentalizing it, without shutting it, without pushing it down, without being shamed on. So you're relearning how to let life force energy begin to move through you yet again. Because when you let life force energy begin to move through you, what you become conscious to is the fact that you are not alone, that it runs through all of us. It runs through all of us. And therein lies the sense of community, spiritual community. Therein lies a sense of interconnectedness that, okay, there is an energy at play that knows what I need more than I know what I need. And here I am confronted with this moment, whether I step into this unknown or whether I stay quote unquote safe. And I give them that dignity of choice.
What's coming through me there, as you described it, there's this energy coming through. It's just memories of childhood come true for me. You know, it's like that feminine energy, that aliveness, that like singing, dancing, screaming, fighting with my brothers, laughing with my sister. I could play dolls with my sister. I could do like pretty much whatever the hell I wanted. And just the exhilaration of that. You know, I didn't have asthma when I was a kid. Wondrously enough, you know, it's like all my memories are like breathing open-heartedly and I was fine. And but slowly but surely, just trusting that energy that would run in and sing and shout, you know, the slow but sure, oh, be quiet, you know, oh, TV's on, or my dad listening to the news, the serious news about the depressing conflicts around the world at 6 o'clock and at 9 o'clock. And then there was homework. And then slowly but surely, this mad, wild energy. I mean, I had beautiful memories of childhood. There's different things that there was trauma that I went through for sure. But early on, that wild energy, we were living in the country, climbing trees, going crazy, you know, ramping, just doing crazy shit as young boys do, you know, in the countryside. There's plenty of realm to adventure and to experience that. But slowly but surely, that energy that knew what I wanted, what I desired, was little bit by little bit in my world, little bit by little bit capped, little bit by little bit, to the point in which I ended up coming into adulthood almost knowing like what the fuck happened. There was a part of me that, if you were speaking with me, Amir, when I was 18, well, I know with your embodied presence, you'd have been able to call the bullshit. But if you were to ask me the questions, like, you know, the 18-year-old Mark's like, you know, how was your childhood? You know, how's your family life, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, man, I've had a great childhood, loving family, lots of humor, blah, blah, blah. But then mid-university days, like the facade began to crumble. I was deeply unhappy. Suicidal thoughts, first time in my life, they came true. The feminine, that beautiful energy, that emotion, that passion, that desire, there again, the word terrified came true. It was one thing that for me, it was like the deepest fear in my life was fear of being rejected by the feminine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was pretty much no other experience that could block that energy coming true for me from when I could almost flirt. I was even known in my college days. It shocked me one day. I tell you just this story to give a little bit of background, but it was like almost this contrast that I didn't even know myself was possible. But I had conveyed such a capacity in front of my classmates. My classmates were, my course was physiotherapy. So just in Ireland anyway, it's like 90% of the students were women. But I remember one day, like midway through my second year, and I met one of the girls in the class, and she was walking across the pitches and she was with her best friend at the time, who she introduced me to. And she turned to the friend. She goes, "Hey, just be careful around Mark. He's the class womanizer." And I remember bursting out laughing, thinking, what the fuck? You know, in my inside, I was like, I'm known as a womanizer. Mm. The issue for me was I could talk with women. I could joke with women. I could do the Irish charming thing with women. I could, like, to the outside world, I could do all that shit to the point of being known as a womanizer. Once one neuron in my head decided, I actually like this girl. That energy that you're talking about, I mean, it just would go, it just would
collapse,
be drained, complete collapse. I would go white in the face. I couldn't speak. I literally would go in front of girls and I couldn't talk. In Ireland, the culture of drink, I mean, I could have 10 pints of Guinness. I could have shots, college days, you know, drink hard, play hard, study hard, etc. That amount of alcohol, I still couldn't get to the point of conversing or into just being with the feminine.
Yeah. So yeah, let's speak into that. This is great. This is great. So first and foremost, if you can't trust your own feminine, you're not going to be able to trust the external feminine.
Okay.
So secondly, when that happens, there is a tendency also to become dependent on the small feminine, we'll call it, like a woman, instead of the great divine or God or whatever the you know, I call the divine the great mother. That's just my way of articulating that energy. When we become dependent, like when we make the like women that thing, the light that feeds us, the light that nourishes us, the light that gives us direction, the light that we lean on, whatever your understanding of your relationship to a power greater than yourself. When you make a woman that, first of all, she will eventually resent you for it. Because secondly, she won't respect you because you're out of integrity in your consciousness. Because in clarity of consciousness, we put our hands, you know, what makes divine masculine? Like, why do we even say divine masculine? Why do we say king archetype? The reason is that man has one foot deeply rooted in the earth, and he has his other foot deeply rooted in that relationship. In the relationship to his understanding of the divine or God, what, so he's not dependent on, he doesn't need to manipulate her, he doesn't need to get anything from her, he doesn't need to spin a web, he doesn't need any of those. He's completely like self-regulated in his life. He's not operating out of shadows, right? Because you can't be the divine king. And Gillette and Moore wrote a book called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, which has become kind of a staple in men's work. And I certainly used it to express these ideas, right? These are Jungian psychologists that are talking about bigger than life energies that run through the masculine. And when they are not fully expressed, they'll go into shadow. If they are self-serving, they'll go into shadow. So they need this capacity to be expressed and connected to something greater than oneself, which is exactly why throughout history, we've had initiations of young men, right? Before initiation, it's all about me and my relationship. It's all about me and this dependent connection to the mother. Through ritual initiations, that cord is cut. That cord of dependence is cut. The man is put through an ordeal where he becomes aware of the fact that life does not revolve around him, that it revolves around something greater than him, the community that accepts him back into its fold, right? And there is the maturation of the masculine, right? That's when he like starts to explore these aspects within himself. So when he is not living a life out of his shadows, right? And if you want, we can talk about the different archetypes, their shadows and such. But to get to that space where, you know, he is the king of his family or his community, all you have to do is, you know, there's some signs that you can look for. One, in his community, he brings order out of chaos. There's order, like things are moving and there's order in the land. Second, there's regenerative power. There's life force energy running through the land. It's not desolate. Things aren't dying. Things are growing. Things are expanding. Life is flourishing in that container, right? If he's in his shadow, you know, he's the tyrant or he's the weakling in his kingdom. He's either like, do it my fucking way or you're going to pay, or he doesn't have the voice to speak into the space of his own kingdom, right? When the feminine is in the presence of a man in his power, and not a power that's, again, abusive, right? It's connected power, right? Heart connected, divine. The feminine will automatically relax her body. Like, she doesn't even know. She doesn't even know why she feels safe in the room, but she feels safe. And she begins to, and when I say she, it could be he, in like, it could even be in this conversation. Like, you're already feeling some stuff from the childhood easily, like, accessible now, because
I'm going through a whole roller coaster here where I can feel tension, and then your voice or the words come, and then I just drop into that feminine again. So it's, yeah, I'm really feeling that.
Yeah, and that's beautiful, because now you have access to areas of your life that make you whole, that make you uniquely you, right? So in practices, in men's work, and especially in our community, these spaces are really safe places of exploration of these energies, whether they be masculine practices and developing depth of consciousness, you know, developing your container to hold larger amounts of energy so you don't collapse when your feminine partner has a reaction or an emotion that she brings to you, or whether it is guiding you in accessing your capacity to surrender and let go and explore and move with what wants to move through you.
What's coming through really powerfully, Amir, is the idea of initiation. And on a personal level, it's, you know, for so many years, I talk about 10 or 11, 12 years in marriage, and we're 14 and a half beautiful years in. But I mean, the first 12 and a half, I mean, there was a thread of beauty, but fuck me, but there was pain. And not just pain, I suppose, like that technically, like pain is inevitable, but suffering, you know, doesn't have to be inevitable. There's a lot of suffering for me. And golden thread for myself personally, and I know guys tapping into guys that are married around the world, there can be this tendency. It was very pronounced in my story, my inner world. I used to beat the shit out of myself. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. why am I not a good man in marriage? Why am I not a good husband? You know, and then that petered obviously into how I showed up and identified as a parent. Yeah, what I'm hearing from you, is this abyss, if you are not initiated from boyhood into manhood, and I know there's that beautiful term on your website, I've seen in your writing several times, boys are born, but men are made. And it's just, it really crystallized the meaning in that. But I know, like, guys listening in, it's like, you know, beating the shit out of ourselves. But if you don't go through that initiatory process in the presence of powerful, conscious men that can hold space for you, I mean, it's almost like to give ourselves some credit for how far we actually get without being initiated, you know, and like doing it alone, it's almost like the Mission Impossible. So is it possible, you know? And it's like, sometimes there's black and white talk. You know, guys listening in, just a lone wolf. You know, I know myself, you know, a couple of years ago, I listened to Amir and I listened to this dude talking, and, Yeah, he's talking about initiation, but I'm going to listen in. I'm going to do it myself. Really being black and white and direct, is it possible to show up in your full power in marriage as a man without doing some deep inner work in a circle of men?
I think you're going to hit limits. I think you're going to hit limits. And I'll, you know, one of the gifts of the masculine is depth of perception and clarity of direction. So if I am, let's say I go through an emotional event in my life and I am topsy-turvy, man. I am upside down. And I can't see a way forward. And I'm fully in like a collapse emotionally, right? When you come in the presence of, let's say, a handful of men that don't have that relationship to that incident, what they bring to you, and these are men of like, you know, integrity and honesty, right? And generosity, you're going to get clear clarity from them that you wouldn't be able to get on your own. You will get clarity. They will come in with a sharp knife, and they will serve that hopefully consciously in a way that you can digest it. Right? So, and if you want to do it alone, do it alone. Like I give each and every man that comes into an exchange with me the dignity of choice. The dignity of choice. You know, I'll be working with a man that wants to be in a feminine cleanse, let's say, for 30 days or 60 days. And he keeps quote unquote fucking up or like slipping or whatever you want to call it, right? No problem, man. You want to keep slipping, keep slipping. You will have that experience. You will continue to have that experience. And when you're ready to do something different, well, the container's there for you as well. This is what we see. But I give every man the dignity of his process, you know, because if it doesn't come from within, it won't really hold. If you do, you know, people come in because, you know, their relationships are falling apart or something big has happened, and that brings them into men's work. But you will be faced with yourself at one point on the crossroads of life. And when you choose to do this for yourself, that's when things really begin to change. That's when things really begin to change.
There's a curiosity I have about your own process. I know when I was reading multiple different parts of your writing, you're an extraordinary writer. I have a deep admiration for how you're a wordsmith and you convey so beautifully. What really jumped out for me was your terms that, in your own words, you were 25 years in spiritual labor and then 5 days of delivery in the Mojave Desert. I suppose there's two parts that I'm passionately curious to know more, and this speaks to your path of mastery. What were the 25 years of spiritual labor that you were speaking to on your path of mastery? Obviously, guys have been, you know, we've been in your presence now for, 30 minutes of this interview, and I'm curious personally, and I love the guys listening in, yeah, what was your process? How did you come to that cross or multiple crosses in life? Could you deepen our wisdom as to, yeah, the path that carved out the character of Amir?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, a spiritual path is the path of the heart. It is a path of of continuously placing ourselves in the unknown, and within that space, coming to learn more and more about ourselves and where we fit in the fabric of life. What is my soul's calling for this life experience? This is how I view spirituality, coming to terms with the soul's true calling. Now, some call that purpose. I think Data called, it's purpose-centric. I'm a little less concerned about. So when I talk about the 5 days of labor, that's what, after those 5 days, the clarity of my work in the world, like the curtains got pulled way open and it dropped. But that the labor is as important as the delivery. The 25 years of labor was me moving in the direction of my heart without completely knowing the answers. I just knew that in this phase of my life, I'm working with men in this realm. In this phase of my life, I'm working men in this realm. I was following the tug of the heart continuously. That's 25 years of following the tug of the heart and moving in the direction of what I wanted to, how I wanted to serve, how I wanted to create the life that I wanted to create. And looking back, everything that I did somehow prepared me for that delivery. So, for me, what that meant was clarity. So I went into I was asked to teach in 2018. I was asked to teach something to a group of 30 plus men in the desert. I was also invited to participate if I chose to. So I said yes, with zero expectations of really changing my life after 5 days. I mean, I had a bunch of other things going on before I founded Embodied Masculine. I mean, I had a web applications company. I was a professional actor. I mean, there was like all this, there was a big life with a bunch of kids, and I have 4 children, and but after, within that 5 day period, I had some somatic releases that resulted in this clarity of what I'm here to do for the second act of my life. It was undeniable. It was undeniable in its message in my heart, to the point where the day I got back, I fired my agent, closed the door on that, took all my acting stuff down, and began to move in the direction of creating this community, which became Embodied Masculine and what it is today. But I hadn't, I had to move in the unknown. Spiritually, I was moving into the unknown. There was changes that were happening in my life. I used to be 24 years in the recovery program. I was coming out of that. The landscape was changing, and the only thing I had was this trust in the path of the heart. Because the body doesn't lie. The body does not lie. If your body's collapsed, it's talking to you. If it's opening, it's talking to you. Right? So that was that experience. I really believe clarity comes right after kind of flushing out this temple body in areas that maybe we don't want to visit. So I was confronted in the practices, and I stepped in and moved these charges. And by the time I left, that changed the direction of my life. In 2018, I started Embodied Masculine. I'd been working with men for close to 25 years, but nothing like this. Wow. Nothing where it was every, this is, I was doing it always on the side. And that felt right for me. That was my path at that time. I was creating other things. I was doing other things. But they all now work together in what I offer the world.
Wow. If I heard correctly, and I need to touch base with you, but I do believe when I was listening to the podcast that you gave recently, part of the aim is to connect or reconnect 100 million men with the Great Mother.
Right, right. So what is that, right? So that's that. So there's the clarity, right? And in the work that we do, we amplify. We amplify the purpose, right? So I can become more clear about the type of man that I need to continuously birth into in the version of myself that can do something like that. So we call that the impossible goal. I'm not going to see it in my lifetime. I'm not going
to
see it.
To speak to a tsunami of personal relevance coming in, literally just about a week and a half ago, I had took some sacred self time one Sunday, Saturday afternoon, and had a really long bat with homeschooling, family, work, horses, et cetera, and I hadn't had in some time. But when I was in the bat, it just started coming to me. It's like the podcast. It's like I have such a deep sense of purpose with the podcast, with the work, with working with guys in marriage to support them on their path to mastery and in marriage and mission. But I had been flirting with the podcast. I'd been doing quite a bit of work in the weeks leading up to it. So there was many dominoes happening inside of myself. But then when I was in the bat, it's just there totally relaxing. The intention was actually just to chill out, not think about work, just be in my body, relax. And I found this deep state of inner stillness. Mm-hmm. And then 1 million came through. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's 1 million about? Mm-hmm. And in the week leading up to it, I'd set financial goals and the business goals you want per se. So the podcast is my main way of, sort of spreading the word, if you want to say. It's the main mm-hmm. way of reaching out to guys, supporting guys to connect in with me, the wisdom with guys like yourself. By the end of the bat, it was, okay, 10 million guys per week, 10 million listens per week. Mm-hmm. Part of my mind was going, Joe fucking Rogan, I don't know, is Joe Rogan even getting 10 million per week?
Yeah.
He might be. So a part of my mind was sort of freak out going, like, this is stupid. But there just was this inner knowing going, okay, it's 10 million listens per week. That's your aim. 5 years time, December 31st, 2027. 10 million per week. A year before that, it's 1 million per week. A year before that, it's 100,000 per week. A year, 10,000, 1,000. And mm-hmm. do you know what the magical thing was? When I kicked this off, it was like 35 guys per week on average listening in. In the mm-hmm. last 2.5 weeks, without me putting like a massive heap of effort into it, it's like energetically, it has skyrocketed. Still humble numbers, but it has went from 35 average per week up to 125 per week. And I haven't put like this big, massive, like social media campaign out. So there was sort of quantum physics, law of attraction stuff going on. I wanted to share that with you and tap into your wisdom as to how you have navigated that. Because for me, there's this part, I'm wondering how do I, and by extension, guys listening in, how do you go at that in a wise way? Within me, it's like the egoic, youngest of three guys, always trying to big myself up to just feel meaningful. There's that part I'm acutely aware of. How do you go at a goal that seems impossible mm-hmm. and remain humble and grounded and mm-hmm. allow the source of life, the Great Mother, God, mm-hmm. be the mm-hmm. writer and not your ego?
Yeah. Great question.
Could you speak to that? Because I feel you've been on that path with your journey. It's like since 2018. It's a number of years now. If you could speak to that, it'd be deeply meaningful for me. And I'm quite sure. I actually just want to challenge guys every now and then in my solo episodes, Amir, if you excuse me just for a moment, I tapped into guys listening in. Guys, It's like, listen up for this one, because, you know, just touch base for a moment with what is your mission. You know, passively listening into Amir speaking about his mission is beautiful, or me about my mission. But in this moment, I just really want to slow you down and just challenge you out of the passive listening into two guys or listening predominantly to Amir. And what's in this for you? So when Amir is speaking, I want a part of your mind churning over and reflecting on your mission, your sacred calling, and what Amir's wisdom means for you. And with that, Amir, I want to place it back over to you. Just keep everybody fully engaged.
Thank you. I'll start off by saying that it became clear to me that this is not about me. The work I do in the world is not about me. It is what lives in my heart and speaks to me that is my responsibility to do before I leave this planet. It is in my soul's fibers. So I don't say 100 million to say, look at me. I say 100 million because that is the depth of my devotion. That is my devotion to something greater than myself. And when I come from that paradigm, I am not trapped as easily by the desires of the ego. So in the beginning, when I started Embodied Masculine, it was in person in Topanga Canyon. And I would go there an hour before, and I would set up the space by myself. This is before assistants and before any of that staff and all that stuff. So I would be the only one there. I would get there an hour before. I would clean the floors. I would mop the floors. I would set up the candles just right. I would really amplify the space out of devotion for my calling. And I didn't know if there was going to be two guys there, five guys there, or 12 guys there. I was just answering. And sometimes there would be two guys, three guys there. Sometimes there would be 12 guys there. Sometimes, you know, I had no idea. It was before pre-registration. I would just open the door, and then based off of, you know, what I put out, but it didn't matter. And it doesn't matter today. I have men from all around the world come to our drop-in. It doesn't matter. And when it matters, I remind myself, this is not about you, man. This is not about you. This is about me fulfilling my calling before the lights go out. This is me leaving this planet in that moment, knowing that I'm complete, that I did my part. That's devotional. That runs through me. So I say 100 million men, I immediately am confronted with, well, what kind of a person needs, like, what am I stepping more and more into every day? Well, you better believe devotional has to be one of those three pillars.
Right? When you mentioned the word devotion, there's just like some switch went off in my body, and then listening more and more to that, there's a deep, just to speak to it. When you speak about, you know, answering that calling inside of you to just make sure that you know, you die empty, that at your time, when it's your time to leave this life, one of the rudest awakenings for myself as a man, was witnessing the last 3.5 months of my mother. She mm-hmm. passed with stomach cancer there last Christmas, 2 days after, on the 27th. And I'd been bullshitting myself for a good number of years. You know, I changed my job from physiotherapy, I don't know, 4 or 5 years previous. Mm-hmm. Done a lot, men's coaching. You know, I tried multiple versions of the podcast, attempted launching my membership, and some stuff worked, others didn't.
Yeah.
But the word devotion was absent. You know, when you use that word there now, I'm like, totally absent. Actually, if it'd been, you know, just calling myself and my own bullshit, I feel that's the word, that there's this magical essence that is different pre my mom passing and beyond. Because it's literally just looking into her eyes and saying to her, you know, it's just like, hey, mom, you know, I want this to be the greatest gift. You know, you're getting cancer. It's like, my greatest gift to you is to make the fullest benefit of this experience for myself as your son. So I don't want to hold back from this. Mm. I want this happening to you, if it's had to happen, but I want to gift you with my greatest life, my greatest happiness, you know, my greatest purpose beyond that. And it became a beautiful thing with her. Mm. And I emptied my heart with her, but beyond the container of her physical life. Yeah, I think that beautiful word, you're giving me a word to describe. I feel exactly what has shifted within myself. It's devotional loving for that calling within me. So I really appreciate that.
And I want to say that it doesn't have to be this big thing. It doesn't have to be 100 million men. It doesn't have to be 10 million listeners. It could be as simple as what wants to live through me next. What wants to express itself through Mark uniquely as Mark? And am I allowing that to happen? And maybe for you, it's your relationship with your woman, and maybe it's a conglomerate of that and the podcast. The devotional piece is answering the heart's call, because it's in the heart space that the divine resides. And if you are living from that heart space, what that tells me is that you're spending time in that heart space. So if I said, Mark, you and I are best friends, you'd be like, we're actually not best friends, because to be best friends, we need to spend time together. If you want to know me intimately, you have a personification of who I am, right? But if you want to know me intimately, then you and I would need to spend time together, right? You and your heart space need to spend time together. And you can begin to allow your heart to dictate which way to go, instead of fear and ego and society's fucking bullshit messages. Society doesn't want us connected. Society benefits from our disconnect, because then it can sell us things that, quote unquote, make us happy or that we need. We don't need anything outside of ourselves to feel connected.
It feels like this leads very naturally into one of your key guidances, or I think it's actually a requirement of a certain level of training that guys commit in one of your programs. I know you've spoken to it, is at least 1 hour in nature, in solitude by yourself as a man. Can you speak to the importance of that? And within the container of the guys listening in, the majority are husbands. They're within the container of marriage. Quite a few probably have kids. They've work. Mm-hmm. You know, the immediate thing can be, oh, Amir, you know, man, it's like, I have enough shit going on. You know, it's like between work and, you know, the commute. And, you know, within that context that a lot of guys have, a full life, lots of responsibilities, what's the argument for the regular guy that's doing his best? There's a lot on his plate. Why should he bother his ass putting an hour in nature?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start off by saying, because you deserve more. You deserve more love and life. You deserve to feel a sense of interconnectedness in your life. You don't deserve to constantly be chasing and be and running on fumes. You've bought into a paradigm, a consumerism, semi, I don't even know what to call it, you know, quote unquote democracy. This society is not interested in your well-being. The society is not interested in your well-being. It wants to use you for its own purposes. So if you're feeling unfulfilled, I mean, we're assuming the men that are listening here, there's an aspect of them that's unfulfilled. Maybe they don't feel as connected to their wives. Maybe they don't have any like anything left to bring to the table for their children. You know, maybe they're just running on fumes. So it's not one thing I offer in my 4-month program. Like that's not like the, that's one of many things that work together. In this 4-month program, the first thing we do is we take a deep introspective work, which takes months of coming to terms with what's going on the inside. How much of this noise am I associated with? How much of this fear bullshit do I tie my actions to? So we bring in practices to alleviate fears. We bring in practices to alleviate resentments, fears, shit that happens and that hasn't happened in the future. Resentment, shit that happened in the past that still lives in us, taking up space. We take a look at integrity. Right? We take a look at integrity because when you're out of integrity, a part of your attention is always going to be attached to people that you've done wrong or where you're out of integrity. We want to clear this vessel of the gunk. So when you go out into nature, there's something for you to receive. We want to open up the capacity and the possibility of your nourishment not coming off of society's hits.
Just the word,
deep nourishment.
The word there, and like how alien that was for myself for years. And I suppose the bat is like an expression of that nourishment. It's funny that you say it again, listening in. It's like devotion is jumping out for me and nourishment. It's not a word I use regularly as a man. And I know a lot of guys listening in, I imagine would have the same thing. The nourishment in nature. There was a part of me like, I was thinking of guys in nature that I see, you know, myself and my queen. We live in like rural County Roscommon. It's, you can't get more in nature, like almost like, you know, in the west of Ireland. So we wake up like there's,
you're in it.
Yeah, we're in it. Like I go for a daily walk. I do my breath work. I mean, it's a daily joining in with, you know, the local deer fauna, wild birds of prey, foxes, badgers, etc., you name it. So, but the amount of guys that I see, and it's like at one point there, I know the guys listening in, it's there's not a visual, there's no video on it, but it's like you just put your hands up across your face, just like this passionate expression of you. And I have the same coming through me of, yeah, there's guys in nature. There's a part of me just wanted to say, not with a fucking iPhone in your hand. And it's not like, it's not with the brand, but it's like, yeah, you know, some guys might be saying, oh, but I go to the park with the kids and, you know, I'm in nature and there's a bridge, but there's a part of me going, it's like, guys, cool, in nature. Just drop the phone. Leave it in the car. And this, I know, I love your point, but there's just this part. It's like, you know, stop taking videos and stop taking photos of it to a point. Part of it is just like sitting with, for me personally, it was learning to sit with the uncomfort, the discomfort of, wow, I'm just here.
Well, the discomfort of I am just here is actually part of the detox process of disconnecting from all the kind of external noise and demands that we have become habituated into. Because contrary to popular ideology, we are not separate than this earth. We are part of this beautiful, living, breathing, sentient earth. You know, the wisdom of the earth is the last bastions of protectors of that wisdom are the indigenous, and even in those communities, it's starting. You know, we have to reclaim that truth for ourselves. We have to fall into relationship with the natural elements yet again, because there is deep wisdom that can come through for us, you know, in being in right relationship. The biggest thing that men are dealing with is a sense of feeling disconnected from themselves, feeling unhappy, having habits that are habitual in nature that replicate nourishment, but they're not nourishment per se. They could be dopamine hits. Dopamine hits are not, or is not what your body gets. You know, the same way you could feel like an energetic resonance with a man that you trust, like that's running through, because that energy is running through him unapologetically. It is running through this beautiful planet of ours everywhere. There's just a lot of noise, and our attention has been hijacked by corporations and all this noise and lights, and they're just trying to get your attention. So when you come into a 4-month program that I run, it's an intensive version to kind of extract you from the system and to give you some new habits. In addition to the 1 hour in nature, we have, you know, 4 days of physical exercise. You got 4 days of like, you know, embodiment practices that must include meditation. You have an hour in nature, and you're simultaneously doing this deep introspective work that I talked about, coming to terms with where you're running your life from shadows, where in your life shit is not working. We take a look at that. But in reality, the whole system, the whole 4 months is designed to disconnect you from a system that's not working, turn you inwards, clean this thing out so you can start to feel more of life coming through, more of that relationship in that heart space, and start to cultivate and live from that paradigm. That leaves a man feeling more in his life, content with the passage of time.
You're taking me back to the alive presence I felt after doing the pilgrimage to Santiago with my queen. That's we got married at the end. That was part of our relational story. But as a man, that was 35 days just walking. Mm-hmm. Get up, walk. The middle part, I mean, the beginning part, there was the full enthusiasm. It was like, oh, you know, this is cool. And like, it was in my head. And it's like, oh, aren't I so cool? And look at all these people. And I was like talking with everybody. You know, I had this very much an extroverted persona that I was, you know, putting out front and center. When my queen laughs at me now. She's like, when she met me, she was supposedly the introverted one. She's getting more open and she's loving friends and society. And she's like, Mark, you're just like, you're like a man in a cave. And I just love that inner solitude. But apart from that, the beginning period, I was caught in my head. It was all interesting. It was curiosity, interesting. Oh, I was like fascinated with the places, the names, the people. But then there was this central part. And actually, the landscape got astoundingly boring, featureless. It was yellow. There were no hills. I remember like 9 or 10 days of yellow landscape, nothing but fields of, you know, intensive agriculture. So there was almost nothing for my mind to grapple with. And so much started coming true. I'm still dealing with what came true. That's like 14 years ago. I'm still integrating the truth of what so uncomfortably emerged in those days, because 10 days with nothing to stimulate, 10 days of, why the fuck am I doing physiotherapy? Why did I train in that? my relationships with my brothers, my relationship with life. I mentioned about being an extrovert. If you met me in college, man, like getting me to shut up was the issue. You know, it's like if you like sort of extroverted, bubbly in your face, comical clown, I mean, I was your guy, but there was no depth behind it.
Yeah.
But that just cracked me. I remember like it was uncomfortable, but it was in nature. It was by the streams in the evening. It was getting up early in the morning. You know, it was just submerging into that. It was my life has been different ever since. So yeah, just that was coming up as you were speaking about nature and just unplugging from that conditioned mindset.
I mean, think about where you had your clarity on the podcast. You were in stillness in water. You were immersed in nature and you were quiet. That's where creativity comes from. That's where that connection to that inner flame is heard a little bit more clearly within the heart. Because the noise is settling. Your attention is somewhere else, right? How much of your attention and your eye, like your eyes are constantly pushing out, right? We're constantly pushing out. Our energy is constantly doing this. How often do you lean back into the body? How often do you like surrender in the back body? How often do you breathe and let life penetrate you?
What's coming through me as you did that gesture, it feels one is like a sacred masculine expression. It's like penetrating the eyes, focus, your vision. You're on task. You have an image, a vision in your mind, and you're entering the world. But the other part, do I pick up correctly? It's like a sinking back and surrendering into a feminine.
Yeah.
It's the feminine intuitive wisdom that just comes up when I'm not searching in my mind, thinking the strategy of business, thinking the growth strategy. How will I do? Will I do a social media? Will I not? Blah, 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 podcast. How the hell will I get to 10 million? Okay. But it's just finding a balance between both of those.
That is good men's work. Will work with both poles. And learning how to move between the two. Look, man, I need structure like anybody else. I mean, look at my website. It's completely structured. Like every word that is on those pages, the images that are used, they're consciously, that brings out the essence of what we do. That's all structure. That's all masculine, right? But what I should be offering in the world is not coming from here. It's coming from here in relation to that relation, in that comes intrinsically from that relationship that I have uniquely, privately with the divine that is mine, that you have access to, that every man has access to. That is in the feminine space of the heart. That's why women are oracles. Seers.
Can you please speak to that? Because that is such a trigger for, I know for years, reading Daida first, you know, the feminine goddess, the oracle of wisdom. And there was so much of me, I now know I can give words to it, like my wounded self, but it's like, oh man, what fucking bullshit. It's like she just fucking she criticizes me, and you know, she
say more, because I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
It was so triggering, you know, for me when I was reading The Way of the Superior Man. If guys listening in might be familiar with it, some will have read it. And there again, what I report it's probably is like every reporting of a teaching is a biased report. So it's like what I picked up and what I interpreted and misinterpreted. I remember it's very triggering for me in the beginning of relating with my woman as a queen, as an oracle of wisdom, being able to surrender into her feedback and the wisdom of it. definitely I've done a lot of work and I relate more and more with that incredible wisdom. Mm-hmm. Could you speak to, I suppose I'm like with guys listening in that are like myself, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, where it's like, oh man, what? Oracle of wisdom? You know, it's mm-hmm. like they, where the perceptual reality is like with wounds, not being able to see, it's like, man, she's just like, she's on my case the whole time. I come in, I'm not, I know talking with guys, there can be this feeling in relationship with their wife that it's like his best is never good enough. Where it's like,
well, yeah.
It can seem like it's a quantum leap to go oracle of wisdom. My ass, she's an oracle of wisdom.
Okay. And
for the me of 4 years ago, I get where you're coming from, but I really want to speak with two guys listening in that were like me 4 or 5 years ago. And fuck, I'm not saying that I treat her like an oracle of wisdom. I still have a profound work. But I do know when I introduce this idea with guys, there's an immediate triggering. It's like oracle of wisdom. And it's like, man, yeah. I mean, you can talk to me about deep men's work. You can talk to me about shadow work, but introducing this idea to relate with my woman, like an oracle of wisdom, I'm nowhere near that. Could you speak with words of elder wisdom to support guys, you know, just nudging into what that might mean for them in their everyday life?
The reason you don't trust her oracles because you don't trust your own capacity to express yourself and your truth. You're still working on that. It's getting stuck in the throat, right? It could be related to fear of stepping into power. Sometimes men fear to step more and more into power because they associate power with hurting people. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to hurt people with their words or anything else. But what you're doing is you're stifling the rotation of that energetic expression. It's not finding completion. So when it gets clogged, your attention is like stuck here and you're like not trusting anything outside of that. So you don't really trust yourself to even have the full expression, right? I wanted to do that just to say that the work of trusting the oracle is more about you than it is about her. Okay. This also happens with men that are easily thrown off when a woman leads in any part of their life, right? They read a David Data book. They think they always have to lead in every aspect of every moment. You don't. You don't. She may be better at certain things that she can lead in.
Yeah.
Areas that you lead in.
I'd speak to that exact one just with that, with what was happening there this morning. Was we do like what we call our shareholder meeting. It's predominantly my business, but like we're partners in it. So we do a Monday morning meeting. And I went into closure when she started leading.
Yeah.
I was after speaking my mission statement, the 5-year mission statement. And it's the second week in a row where she didn't feel it. And she just...
Gave you feedback?
Yeah, the feedback
did
was...
Did you ask for feedback?
In that moment, no.
Mm-hmm. I've told my wife, listen, I'm not open to feedback right now.
Okay.
We got there.
That's actually an important distinction there, just the permission for feedback or not, because I know in my interpretation of, you know, receiving feedback from the feminine, it's like I'm meant to be open to that at any given moment.
So sometimes it'll just come and it'll be your responsibility to be like, hey, my love, I really appreciate you wanting to give me feedback. I'm not open to receiving it. Can we talk in 3 hours? The feminine's work is to bring you into highest consciousness at all times to serve your highest good. If she senses you wavering in that area, she'll call you up. That's a gift. It's not a punishment. It's a gift.
Mm. In that moment, it felt so severe. Just that calling the attention on sort of like I knew it myself. I was edgy saying it when I was speaking it. And like I'm open. I actually really want to speak this with guys listening in, because one thing that I never want to do, you know, leading a podcast and you know, being a men's coach, is I never want to give a facade that like this is a real massive challenge for me, leading a podcast and putting this out. So this was just really life, my goddess calling me. It's like, that just wasn't believable. And like she softened into it. And it just was really deeply triggering to surrender into that in that moment.
So here's what I would say. I would say, treat that with curiosity. Treat her feedback or her what she's saying to you, what she sees. What she's saying is, I can't feel you, my love. She loves you. She wants your highest good. And she's saying, hey, I want to feel you. Sometimes we're up here with our energy. It's all up here. For her to feel you, you have to move that energy down your body. So like learning what that even means. How do I fucking move energy down my body? Oh, you can. Oh, you can. We have instruments that we use. We use breath. We use attention. We use visualization. We use sound. We use movement to work with energy. So you can become skilled on how to not get triggered when she says something to you. You can immediately work with your breath. You can bring in curiosity. Oh, tell me more. Like, tell me how you experience me. If you trust her, that she's your woman, she's like your second pair of eyes. Is it the way I'm sitting? Because look, man, if I'm sitting and talking to you like this, do you trust me as a men's coach? No. Not really. Yeah. The fuck is this guy doing? Right? So my physical, the way I show up in the world speaks volumes. I know a man before he talks. I know who he is before he opens his mouth, just by the way he shows up. So she's giving you feedback. Okay, curiosity. Say more. How are you not feeling me? What would make you feel me more? She may say something like, breathe it, put your hand on your belly and breathe down into your lower belly 5 times and then say it again. She's on your side, man. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're with a woman that you know is your queen. You've called her your queen a bunch of times, which tells me you do trust her. You do see her as your half side, right? So chances are, if she's bringing something to you, it's to sharpen you, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes if we are not as secure in our own leadership, right? We can get triggered by our partners leading in certain areas, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all part of the work. There's no shame around that. Everybody's working on different aspects of themselves so they can show up more fully. But to answer this long-winded question about the oracle, the point I was trying to make is, if you are connected to a sense of self, right? What she has is this capacity to be in those depths of waters for long periods of time. Now, granted, sometimes they're in the masculine, but the feminine is swimming in that pool of the bath of stillness and the water where the insights came. And that's her element. That's where she's at. There's things that she's in tune to that you may not be in tune to. especially if we're talking about not living in the paradigm of this societal version of life. If we're talking about living a life in a parallel structure that is more conducive to spiritual evolution, to interconnectivity, to healing, well, that in that paradigm, I would highly recommend any man that's involved in men's work to start becoming familiar with feminine goddesses, you know, like, you know, the power of those archetypal energies that run through the feminine. It would be short-sighted for a king to think he knows everything. It's actually, the one of the great attributes of a king is that he knows the boundaries of his kingdom. He knows the boundaries of his kingdom.
Yeah. What jumps out at me is like the simplicity of the reminder, she's on your side. And you know, when I come out of that, like I do know, like that when I speak to Queen, she is on my side. The receiving feedback, what I speak to in that, I know I realized at one point, I was like, whoa, Mark, I mean, you almost jerk off like mentally when, you know, the black belt in the BJJ dojo comes and visits and it's like, oh, you know, the black belt, going to get feedback from the black belt. And it's like, you know, the sacred 5 minutes and he or she just, you know, just tweaks that little move and says, oh, wow, you know, I got feedback from the black belt and that feedback I integrated. Or the business mentor, or, you know, it's like these guys that I would receive mentorship from. And yet there was a moment where it's like, wow, I've got this beautiful woman at home. And I don't get such a dopamine kick, not at that point, you know, when she gives me feedback. And yet, you know, or like another person that I was thinking of, like for years, I was following Buddhism, you know, the Buddhist master, you know, when the master comes in and like the reverence. And yet the one human that knows me and my state of presence better than the black belt and actually Absolutely. Better than the Tibetan Lama, no matter how many years or lifetimes of experience, like within a nanosecond, she yeah. knows if I'm present or not. There was a part of me going, oh, wow. Well, this is high pressure stakes, but let's lean into this. Let's lean into that wisdom. And, you know, it's on tap there. The uncomfortable thing is it's on tap there 24/7.
But I would say, Mark, change the relationship you have or expand the relationship you have with your own feminine body and watch that relationship change for the better. You won't get triggered as much. You'll be more open to hearing it. Why? Because you are giving yourself more space for expression. As within, so without. As below, so above. Open up more space here for your feminine. You'll create more space for her. Deepen your capacity to hold more energy for your own feminine. Deepen your capacity to hold more energy and expression from the feminine without.
Okay.
And then you'll start to hear it through a different prism. You'll be wearing different colored glasses. It'll come in differently. It's not a threat. Once you change that relationship internally, it'll manifest externally. It'll reflect back. I'll close with just this thought. It is not that she's too much. It is that your container needs to be developed and your relationship with your own feminine needs to be expanded upon. In doing so, as you come more into equilibrium within yourself, you'll have more space and capacity. Her freedom is number one. Her freedom of expression. Say what you need to say, baby. Bring the storm, I'll say more. Bring the soft wind, I'll say more. Right? Now, that doesn't mean we become like also like that. You have to also, you know, this is subtle. Sometimes men think they have to hold a pose and like it, which turns into too much. Like you need to decipher. You need to be able to decipher. This is the masculine part, right? The depth of perception. You know what? Now I am going to step away from this. Lovingly, I'm going to be like, my love, I'm going to take 15 minutes and I'll be back here and we can like talk about it when, you know, things have shifted a little bit. You have to also know how much is a pose to hold for the expression of the feminine and what is your, like, okay, I hit my limit. I'm at my limit. I'm not going to make her wrong. I'm simply going to speak for my needs. Mm. Hey, my love, I need 30 minutes to get myself together and then we can revisit this. Mm. Right?
There's, I'm bursting into open-hearted laughter here because there's just so much coming in, and that's the potency of conversations like this. I mean, an hour and a half, you only get going, and hence the likes of your work, Amir, there's 4 months, and I'm quite sure beyond that, the guys aren't fully complete. You're only getting going on that journey. I still laugh of, you know, the Dalai Lama after I was in the Rigpa community after 3.5 years of deep retreat, you know, these Western students, 3.5 years immersed in the teachings. And his first talk was, yeah, you've only got going.
Totally. I have men that take that multiple times. Yeah.
And with that, guys, you know, you've only got going. I'm quite sure listening in to Amir Kaligi here, you've only got going on your journey with Amir. And I'm hoping you cross paths with his wisdom in future going forward beyond this episode. Amir, where can the powerful kings listening in, where can they get you online?
Well, I think a good start would be embodiedmasculine.com. And they can really learn more about our community and maybe drop in on a Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, we have a practice and a community circle. It's a 2-hour container. It's a really great way to start, would be maybe just to see if this is your flavor. My flavor of men's work is not everybody's flavor. You know, I like to swim in, you know, dark waters. I bring somatic embodiment and shamanic practices. It may be somebody's flavor. It may not be somebody's flavor. So that would be a good way to start. And then I'm not that active on Instagram, but I do have account there under my last name, which is Kaligi, Khaligi.
Beautiful. Guys, track Amir down, check it out. I really want the whole essence of the podcast is just connecting guys with deep men's work. Amir, it's been an honor, a privilege. I'm going to speak in on intentionality. Let this be the first conversation and let me get my ass into gear on my mission impossible. Get the audience up to a really deeply meaningful. It was meaningful now, but I really want, we'll get the word out to guys. I'll invite you back on. I'd love to have your presence back on in future. But thank you for coming in. It's been such a beautiful sharing from your wisdom.
It's my pleasure, Mark. It was really a beautiful exchange.
Excellent. Guys, rounding it off, thanks to Amir. And as always, you know, listening in, I set the challenge to you. The masculine core aspect of growth is direct challenge. When you're listening in, I know many of you listen through and you're listening back again and again. The reminder is find the insight or insights that resonate deepest for you with deepest meaning. Find creative ways in your mind to implement. It's in the implementation that the transformation happens. But the courageous stories of guys, how you're implementing, finding ways to bring that transformation to life, it's so inspiring. So that is the path. Until the next episode, go have a beautiful kingly day.